Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John in chapter number 10. We're continuing with our series of the shepherd and the sheep. That over 100 times the phrase or the idea of the shepherd or the sheep is used throughout the Word of God. And it's God's favorite way to describe the relationship between Himself and us. That we are the sheep. And He is the shepherd. That as we as sheep are dumb, they're dependent, they're weak, they're helpless. They need a shepherd. They're definitely, desperately need a shepherd. And we've been studying through this series, at least this part of the series, we've been seeing that God is the good shepherd. That through the Word of God, God calls Himself the Good Shepherd. He calls Himself the Great Shepherd. He calls Himself the Chief Shepherd. That He is our shepherd, that we need to depend upon Him. And as we find our way to the Gospel record of John, chapter number 10, we could see that Jesus Christ has gathered a crowd, and He begins to explain once again that He is the Good Shepherd. So if you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John, chapter number 10. The Gospel record of John, chapter number 10, and notice with me starting at verse 1. The Gospel record of John, chapter 10, and verse 1, the Word of God says this: Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. For the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, of whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, know I the Father, and layeth down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the Gospel record of John, chapter number 10? The Gospel record of John, chapter number 10, and what Jesus Christ calls himself, notice with me in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And with the Lord's help, we want to examine Jesus Christ in this passage and see that he is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. If you don't mind, let's go talk to this shepherd now in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you today, we're just asking that you would give us wisdom and discernment as we explore your scriptures now. That most of all, we can learn of you, see whom you are, know who you are. That we could grow closer and nearer because of whom you are. That we would realize that you are the good shepherd and you care for the sheep. You know the sheep. You gave your life for the sheep. And that we as sheep, that we would respond in kind and be dependent on this great shepherd who loves us so very much. Again, I recognize that I have no strength and no power in myself today. I do not have the ability. I do not. And I must need your help now. Fill me with your precious spirit for the purpose that you get your own work accomplished tonight. You must be here. You must do it. I just want to be a vessel usable by you. So I give you my thoughts. I give you my mind. I give you my body, my strength. I give you it all. We're asking that you would do a work that only you can do tonight. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ claimed in this passage here, saying, I am the good shepherd. And so if you don't mind, let's take this passage and let's see what Jesus Christ is describing and what he is getting across here in this passage that we can learn more about our good shepherd. The very first thing I'd like to show you in this text is the parable of the shepherd. The parable of the shepherd. Notice with me in verse number 1, as Jesus Christ begins this parable of the shepherd in describing this, notice in verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, what Jesus Christ is doing is he's giving a illustration of everyday life that people would know back in those days. Remember, this book is an ancient book, and this occurs about 2,000 years ago. And so things may have changed a little bit from how we see things to what they did back then. In those days, because they live in a very mountainous and arid place, they didn't have nice green fields like Wisconsin does during the small summer that we have, that what they would do is the shepherds would lead the sheep around to find any kind of pasture they can. And then at night, they would bring them to an enclosure where all the shepherds would meet. And they would put all the sheep into one big pen. And what would happen is that the shepherd would be the one to stand at the door. Remember, we've described the instruments of the shepherd, that he had two instruments. He had the rod and he had the staff, and that the rod was used as a club, that when he would see a wolf, that the shepherds would actually practice to throw the rod to hit the wolf in the head. But the rod was also used for something else, that what would happen is the sheep are getting ready to go into the enclosure. The shepherd would take the rod and he would hold it over the door. And as the sheep would go under, it was a way for him to keep count. 1, 2, 3, and make sure that he had all of his sheep there. And so he would be the one that would guard the door, and the sheep would go in and file in and make sure that all of them were there and available. Now, the sheep were trained to only hear and obey the voice of the shepherd. Again, they would actually put several different flocks within the same sheepfold. And when the shepherd would call, only the sheep that belonged to the shepherd would respond. The rest of the sheep would stay. And so the shepherd would say, all right, my sheep, come here. And the sheep would all file in and follow the shepherd because they would know his voice. And so as Jesus begins to explain this parable with an idea that the people would understand what the sheepfold was, and they would understand that at night they would bring the sheep in, and then in the morning the shepherd would call out the sheep. Jesus starts this parable with an important distinction that, first of all, the sheep fear the robber. The sheep fear the robber. Notice again in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So Jesus Christ starts this off by giving an illustration of the sheepfold. And he says, if anybody doesn't use the door, but they climb in some other way, they're a thief or a robber. So just think about that. Why wouldn't someone use the door? Because they don't belong there. And so let's say that someone wanted to take a sheep. And so they would climb over the fence. They would go around the fence, but they wouldn't use the door. Try to grab a sheep and haul it over or whatever they would try to do. But the idea was is that if they didn't go by the door, they didn't belong there. Jesus is the one that guards the door. He's the one that knows the sheep. And that if someone went some other way but by the door, they don't belong there. They're thieves. They're robbers. They're there to take the sheep that doesn't belong to them. Notice the second thing as we are still talking about this parable is that the sheep follow the shepherd. Not only do the sheep fear the robber, but they follow the shepherd. Notice with me in verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. So again, the shepherd would go at the door and said, all right, my sheep, come follow me. And the sheep would hear the voice of the shepherd. They know his voice. That's my shepherd. And they would follow the shepherd. So as the shepherd would lead out, his sheep would follow him. The rest of the sheep would stay where they're supposed to be. And they would do that because they knew the shepherd's voice. Because they recognized the voice. That's my shepherd. I can trust him. I can follow him. I listen to that voice. I know that voice. And able to follow that shepherd. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Again, we're going to get more in detail in just a bit. But isn't it a wonderful thing to hear the shepherd's voice? To know that it's the Lord that is speaking? We explain that God speaks to us in a couple different ways. One of the ways that he speaks is through the Word of God. What a wonderful thing that you could open up the Word of God and say, you know what? That's God. God's speaking. He's the one that's saying it. To recognize the shepherd's voice. God also speaks to us through other Christians. For example, that as a preacher is preaching the Word of God, the Holy Spirit inside of us speaks to us and says, that's true. That's right. And he backs it up, what he says. What a wonderful thing to have the voice and to hear the shepherd and say, you know, the shepherd's saying, that's right. I can trust that. I can depend upon that. Or if there's something said that's not right, the Holy Spirit inside of us can say, there's something not right about that. But we can hear his voice. Now, we're not talking about something spooky or supernatural. We're not saying that the lights come on and the angel choir goes, ah. But there is something about knowing the shepherd's voice. That I hear him and I recognize that's God. And I'm able to trust him because I know who that shepherd is. That the sheep, they hear his voice to know who the shepherd is. Again, Jesus here is giving a parable and describing it. As he's talking about the parable, he starts off by the sheep fear the robber. That anyone who comes in, not by the door, but around the door or over the walls, they're a robber. They're a thief and the robber. That the sheep, they follow the shepherd. In this parable here, he's saying the sheep. You guys know about sheep. He's talking to the crowd. You know that a shepherd can call the sheep and they follow him. My sheep, they know me. A third thing in this parable is that the sheep flee the stranger. The sheep flee the stranger. Notice in verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So as Jesus is giving this parable, he also says, you guys know about sheep, that if it's not the person's sheep and they say, hey, you come here, the sheep will run away from the stranger because they said, that's not my shepherd. That's not the voice I recognize. And they will flee away. They won't come to him, but they'll scatter away from them. And that Jesus is talking about this parable, and he just begins to give this illustration. Now, the people around him at that time didn't understand what was going on. So Jesus had to have not only the parable of the shepherd, but he also had to have the explanation of the shepherd. Notice with me in verse number 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which they were, which he spoke of them. So when Jesus is saying, hey, my sheep, they know my voice and they follow me. Anyone that comes over, not through the door, they're a thief and the robber. The sheep, when they hear the voice of the stranger, they flee. And they're listening to Jesus and they scratch their old heads and said, what in the world is he talking about now? Sheep, and what does this mean? And so Jesus takes time to explain what he means. Why did he tell the parable? What is he trying to teach them? Well, he now explains about the shepherd. Notice with me in verse 7. Then saith Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the sheep. And all that enter before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. And if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out to find pasture. Now, this is one of those segments in the gospel record of John, which is the I am segments. Jesus says, I am. We'll talk more about that in a second, but I want you to keep in mind. But Jesus states, I am the door. I am the door. And the only way to get in to the sheepfold is by me. Jesus reiterates this in a different way in the gospel record of John 14, verse number 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father but by me. You know what Jesus is saying? I'm the door. You want to get to the Father? You go through me. I'm the door. There is no other way to get to God but by the door. So again, imagine yourself a sheepfold. A sheepfold would be an open enclosure. It didn't have a roof on it, but it was an open enclosure that had one door into it so the sheep could go in and out. And in that open enclosure, the only way to go in is through Jesus. If any man went some other way other than the door, they didn't belong there. They were a thief or a robber. There was no other way to properly get into the sheepfold but through the door. That would make sense. That's why you have doors. They allow you to get in and out. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth to the Father but by me. I'm the only way to heaven, Jesus said. I am the only way to have your sins forgiven. The only way is through me. Now, with that understood, that if Jesus is the only way, notice what Jesus talks about in verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus says a very bold statement with our understanding here, that if Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, we're using what we call in English the definite article. Jesus is not a way, a truth, and a life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What that means is that if Jesus is the way, there is no other way but by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way. And anyone else who claims that you can have your sins forgiven, anyone who claims that you can get to God except any other way but Jesus, are a thief and a robber. Jesus said, anyone else who claim this, they're thieves and robbers. But the sheep, they don't hear their voice because it's not the voice of God. Now you think about this. This is written about 2,000 years ago. But you think of people that have already come before. You have a man by the name of Confucius in Chinese history. Now he never wanted to be a religious leader. He actually came up with a philosophy of how to live life, and it became a religion. But you know, Confucianism cannot get you to heaven. He cannot get you to heaven. You have a man by the name of, I just forgot how to pronounce his name, but Siddhartha, who became known as Buddha. Buddha was looking for a way of an enlightenment. But you cannot get to heaven by following the teachings of Buddha. You have the Hindus who have thousands of gods that are thousands of years old in their teaching. None of them can get you to heaven. And none of those teachings, none of the philosophies, none of the religions of the world can get you into heaven, because Jesus Christ is the only way. Now, this is important because Jesus is drawing a line in the sand. He's not saying all religions are equal. He is saying there's only one way to get to the Father, and that's by me. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man gets to the Father but by me. I am the door. I am the door. And anyone else who teaches a different religion or teaches a different way other than Christ is a thief and a robber. Now, that's a pretty bold statement. That isn't my quote. This is Jesus's quote. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to have your sins forgiven. And that is by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the door. Now, notice as he continues to give explanation about the shepherd, notice with me in verse, in verse number 10. He says, "The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and to destroy." Notice this. He says this, the thief, the one who doesn't belong, he comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You understand that anyone who teaches there's another way to heaven is there to kill the sheep, to destroy the sheep, to hurt the sheep, because there's only one way to heaven. And so if someone else is trusting in anything else, they're destroying that person. They're hurting that person. They're not helping that person. They're hurting them. Because there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to have our sins forgiven, and that is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the only way. The only way. Now, this is pretty serious stuff. Jesus is putting a line in the sand. He's putting it and making it very clear and very plain. He is the only way. Notice at verse 10 again, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life." And not just life, but he came to give that they might have it more abundantly. And that's what Christ offers us. Not just life eternal, but life more abundantly. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. The abundant life, the much more in life, that God has so much more for us. There's an old adage that I heard about a guy who woke up in the morning to go to work to dig the ditch. He digged the ditch to make the money. He made the money to to get the food. He got the food to get the strength to go dig the ditch. To dig the ditch to make the money to get the food, to get the food, to get the strength to go. And around and around it goes. And you know how many people are stuck in that cycle? You know how many people who are born again believers that are stuck in that cycle? But that's not what God intended for us. He came to give us life, and not just life. Life more abundantly. The victorious life. He has so much more for us. No one else can offer that. You understand? The Mohammedans cannot offer you an abundant life. You know, the one difference about our religion, I don't like using the word religion, but for in comparison's sake, we're going to use it. What's the difference between biblical Christianity and other religions? Is that we can have a personal relationship with our God. Amen. You understand that in the Quran, it speaks about how close you could get to Allah, their God. He's as close as a knife to your throat. How do you like that image? That's not the intimate relationship that Jesus Christ offers us. You go to Asia, and you go watch the people with their prayer wheels, where they take a prayer request and they put up on the wheel and they spin it and they hope that their God might hear it. We don't have a might. We know that our God will hear us. We know that our shepherd is real. We know our God loves us. There's an intimate relationship that we can have with our God that none of the other religions can offer. That's something personal that we could have. And having that personal relationship with God can open up the victorious Christian life, the abundant life that is flowing free like a river, the Bible said. And in Sunday school, we took several passages and explained this, that he could give us gladness above our fellows. He could give us joy. He could give us peace, and not just peace, peace that passeth all understanding. He could give us the victorious Christian life. What a wonderful God that he offered all those stuff for us. And that is why he came. No other religion can offer that, because it comes with a personal relationship with a good shepherd, that he wants us to have that relationship. Notice as he goes on and explains in verse number 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Notice this phrase, I am the good shepherd. Now, I told you we'd come back to it. Whenever you see these I am statements, the way that Jesus said that is to let the Jewish people know what he is saying. The phrase I am goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 3. And in Exodus chapter 3, you have Moses, who is currently a shepherd in the flock. He's 80 years old, and he looks up and he sees a burning bush. But what's different about this bush is that it's not consumed. It's burning, but it's not burning up. And like anyone, curiosity got the better of him, and he went to go approach it. And wouldn't you know, the bush spoke to him. What would you do if a bush began to speak to you? And God began to speak to him. He said, Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing on is holy ground. And he says, Moses, guess what? I got a job for you. I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses began to get excuses and reasons why he couldn't go. And God put aside all the excuses and still told him to go anyways. Finally, Moses said, all right. If I go and tell those people that they're supposed to follow me out to the desert, who do I tell them that sent me? And God said, tell them I am. I am that I am. Tell him the I am sent you. And the I am is one of the names of God, Jehovah, that carries the idea of the self-sufficient one, meaning the God who doesn't need anything from anyone else. You understand, our God does not need to eat, meaning he doesn't need fuel for his body. Our God doesn't need oxygen. He doesn't have to have oxygen to process and respirate all of his cells. Our God doesn't need a power source. You don't have to plug him in from time to time and charge his batteries. Amen. Our God needs nothing. He is the self-sufficient, the self-contained one, just with the statement, I am. I am. So when Jesus Christ follows up and he knows his audience, he's speaking to a Jewish people who would know this idea of I am. When Jesus Christ says, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. He's saying it such a way that the Jewish people know he's referring himself to God. You said Jesus didn't claim to be God. Read the gospel record of John. So many times Jesus would make a reference that he is God, and the Jewish people would pick up rocks, and Jesus would say, time out. I just want to let you know, why are you going to stone me? Well, because you just claim to be God. Okay, time in. Go ahead and continue where you are. I'm just making sure you recognized. Time and time again, that happened. So that he very purposely used the phrase there, I am. So the Jewish people recognized he was calling himself God. I am the good shepherd. Immediately their mind would go to Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice the word Lord in your Bible is all capital letters. You know what that name is? Jehovah. It says, the I am is my shepherd. I shall not want. Jesus just said, I, Jehovah, I am the self-sufficient one. am the good shepherd. That one that you referred to in Psalm 23 where you said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's me. Letting you know, here I am. He let him know very clearly, I am the good shepherd. He's letting everyone know he just called himself God. And the Jewish people knew it because he purposely used it that way. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, not only did he claim to be God, but he also said, guess what? I love the sheep so much I'm willing to give my life for it. He says, let's go back and let's explain some things. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Now Jesus Christ goes back and says, let me tell you a difference between me, the good shepherd, and all these other guys. He says, I'll give my life for the sheep. He says, a hireling is someone that you pay to do a job. He doesn't care to do the sheep. It's almost like a guy working at McDonald's. He doesn't care whether McDonald's fails or not, or happy or not. He's just there, just doing a job, you know, just here to fill some time. I don't care about, you know, there's no investment in it. He's just there for a temporary time. We've all seen hirelings, right? You go into the grocery store or wherever else, and it looks like we're bothering them when we ask them, you know. When you see the checkout counter, oh, all right. You know, that's a hireling, just so we could relate. It says the hireling, when he sees a wolf, he runs. Now, wolves are big. They're not like cute little ankle-biter dogs. I mean, they're big, huge beast. And when they start coming in and going for the wolves, the hireling says, no. And he takes off running. I'm not going to go mess with that wolf. Think about what David did. You know what David did when he had a lion take one of his sheep? David chased that lion down. And when that lion rose up, he grabbed him by the beard and stabbed him. How many of you are willing to go do that for your little sheep? Think about your little dog at home. How many of you for your little dog at home are willing to go tackle that? And it just didn't happen with a lion. A bear came. Grabbed one of his sheep. David chased him down. When that bear stood up, now a bear's pretty big. David grabbed him by the beard, stabbed him. Said, no, I'm taking my sheep back. You can't have it. That's a shepherd. The hireling's like, enjoy your lunch. See you later. You understand? Our Savior died for us. What other religious leader can claim that he died for his people? Now, some of them may have been killed, but they didn't die for their people. Our Savior gave his life to give us forgiveness of our sins. That's one of the reasons why we could trust our Savior, because God commendeth his love towards us. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He died for us. Jesus proved that he wasn't a hireling. He loved his sheep so much that he died for them. He loved us that much. He says, the hireling, they won't die for you. They may say that you're your friend and smile and be there. But when it gets hard, they'll take off. When it's inconvenient for them, they won't be there. That's the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. Is that the shepherd will be available for them. And so Jesus is saying, I'm telling you there's a difference. I'm explaining to you that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And to prove it, I'll give my life for the sheep. No other hireling will do that. Notice in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Just to let the Jewish people know it again, he repeated himself. Hey, I want to let you know I'm God. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and have known of mine. You know what a wonderful thing? That Jesus knows his sheep. What does that mean? He knows you. He knows what you like. He knows what you think about. He knows where you came from. He knows your history. He knows you. And for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we know him back. We know him. We recognize him. Now we can learn more and more about him. But we recognize our shepherd. We know who he is. What a wonderful thing that we could have that intimate relationship. He knows me. I'm not just a faceless person in a crowd to Christ. He knows me. He cares for me. He intimately cares for me. I heard someone explain prayer like this, that prayer is like entering into a kingdom, a busy castle with lots of things going on, lots of things that need to be taken care of. But prayer is like you going past all those crowds, going up to the king and saying, I need to talk with you. And he sits you down and places you there. And it's like nothing else exists, just you. Because he cares that much for you. He loves you. He loves you that much. He knows you. He knows his sheep. He knows about them. He knows their cares. Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. He's acquainted with all of your grief. He knows what you're going through. Notice as it goes on in verse 16. It says, verse 15, let's hit there. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and lay down my life for the sheep. Here, Jesus recognizes that him and the Father share a knowledge of each other. Why? Because he is God. They're the same person. He knows them. Verse number 16. And other sheep have I have, which are not of this fold. Now, at the time, he's speaking to the Jewish people. And he's saying, hey, I've got other sheep that's not of this fold. What he's making a reference for is that right now he's working with the Jewish people. But guess what? There's other people that's not Jewish people that's also going to be of the fold. And he's going to bring them back and they're going to have one shepherd and one fold. Aren't you glad that he's given salvation not just to the Hebrew people but to us as well? And that we get to be his sheep and he's going to bring us together one day in heaven. We're looking forward to that time with one shepherd and one fold all together. So we start off with the parable of the shepherd. Then we go with the explanation of the shepherd. One last thing I want to show you here is the death of the shepherd. The death of the shepherd. Notice with me in verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why does God love Jesus? Well, here's the reason here. Because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know what the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ is? That no one put him on the cross. No one was powerful enough to put him on the cross. He laid himself down on the cross. I want you to come Sunday morning when we talk about Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. And I'll explain this more, this illustration. But do you know that Jesus Christ did not have to stay on the cross? He could have came down at any time. What kept him up there? It wasn't the nails. What kept him up here? It wasn't his weak body. What kept him there? It was love. It was love. He stayed there because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, Jesus had the power to lay down his life. But aren't you glad it didn't end there? He also had the power to take it up again. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose again. When Jesus Christ rose again, it proved two things. It proved, first of all, that Jesus was God. The second thing that it proved is that God was satisfied with the payment that Jesus made on the cross. That Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. The Bible talks about Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Because I sinned, I deserve death. Because you sinned, you deserve death. You say, what's a sin? It's any time we've disobeyed God's commandments. For example, we have the Ten Commandments. The Bible says that we are to honor thy father and thy mother. We put it simply, to obey your folks. You know, if you've ever disobeyed your folks just once, you owe death. You owe death. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Basically, we would say, don't tell lies. Do you know that if you've ever told one little white lie, you owe death? You say, that's not good news. It's not good news. That's why Jesus died. You know, if there was any other way to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. He would have said, just go over there. Just do this. Just go to that church over there. Go. But because there was no other way, that's why Jesus died. I mean, you think about it logically. If you had the choice not to die, wouldn't you take that choice? But there was no other way. Jesus had to die for us. That sin must have been paid, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, the great shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Then on the third day, he had the power to take it back up. And we can trust that he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man go to the Father but by him. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. And he knows his sheep. What a comforting passage it is that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus knows you. He knows you. What a wonderful, comforting passage. Now, dear friend, maybe perhaps you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven. Let me tell you that you can know, and God wants you to know. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have everlasting life. Oh, what a wonderful thing that you can know. The word know means to have evidence of, to have proof of. We don't believe in a blind faith. We believe in a reasonable hope. We believe in the faith in Jesus Christ that is a confident expectation of something or someone sure to come, that we have evidence of it. We do have evidence that we have a great shepherd who loved us so much and that he knows me and I can hear his voice. What a wonderful thing. And so, dear friend, if you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, you don't know for sure that your sins are forgiven, in just a moment, we're going to have what's called an invitation. And during that time, we invite you to come, and it will be our privilege. We'll take, if you're a woman, we'll have a lady show you. If you're a man, we'll have a man show you. But we'll take the Bible, and we'll let you see from the Bible, God's Word, how you can know without a doubt that your sins are forgiven. For those of you who are saved, you know without a doubt that your sins are forgiven. My purpose is to give you comfort tonight that he knows you. He knows you. And you can know the shepherd's voice, that as you read God's word, that God can say, that's it. And you say, I see the voice of my shepherd. I know him. It's almost like this, if you could allow a personal reference. Let's say that you know someone very well. Maybe they're your best friend. Maybe you've known them for years. And they write a book. And when you read the book, you could say, you know what? I could see that. That's something they would say. Yeah, that's their humor. You would recognize little things about them because you know them. Well, you know, the same thing is about the Bible. The more that you know your shepherd, the more that you read the Bible and say, yeah, that's our God. Yeah, that's him. Yep, he would do something. You could hear the voice of God and say, yeah, I know him. Yep, that would be something. That I could see God in that. I could tell that he's the one who wrote it. What a wonderful thing that you can know the voice of God. Again, we're not talking about something supernatural or spooky. We're not talking about bright lights coming from heaven or an angel choir going, ah. But there's something about reading it and saying, I see the voice. That's my God. I know that's him. I recognize that's him. And to know that God can guide us and lead us with that voice, that he loves us that much. My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them. The Bible says, I am the good shepherd. Is he yours? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.